Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello. Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined as always with our guest super producer, Chandler, the Madman Mays. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is the top of the week. Fellow conspiracy realist, Halloween moves ever closer, right? In the calendar, and the world is not stopping just because it's our favorite holiday. We're going to talk a little bit about forever chemicals with some good news. We're going to explore some sightings of a cryptid that might be familiar to some of us in the audience. And before we do any of that, we are going to
plug 13 Days of Halloween, because today the fifth episode is out right now in season four, and you should listen.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's perfect. No, we want more people to listen to 13 Days of Halloween, brought to you by Aaron Mankey, Alex Williams, and our own Mr. Matt Frederick.
And Blumhouse Television.
Noel's worked on this in concert or in conspiracy with with the Madman Mays. And Matt, you have EP'd the thing. We've got a cavalcade of incredibly talented writers, actors, producers, engineers, you name it. It's top notch. Please tune in if you like scary stories.
The Madman Mays's episode just came out. It's a banger. It's long and it is freaking creepy and weird, and
wait,
you're gonna love it.
It came out?
Yeah.
By the time this publishes.
It's also, I haven't finished doing my sound design yet. I'm scared. I was like, what did I miss?
It's also written by our very own Joe McCormick, mm-hmm, of Stuff to Blow Your Mind fame. You will, in fact, recognize quite a few of the 13 Days writers if we've done things correctly.
Ben.
Before we, we also want to point out it's a lovely autumnal afternoon here at the iHeart Studios. We are recording in person.
I know, it's the first time in a minute. Yeah. I commented when Matt walked into the room, Matt, you're a person instead of just a face in a square.
You guys get your ridiculous history time in, and I'm way up far away now, so I'm sorry, but I want to do this more.
Well, we're glad that you're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're hoping to make this a regular thing. Let's dive right in without further ado or ado-do or et cetera. It turns out, you guys know catalytic converters?
Yeah.
Yeah, people like to steal them, right? Because they have copper in them. Isn't that the thing?
They've got all kinds of stuff.
They have all kinds of goodies.
Wait, even like, no, there's some element in them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, catalytic converters are the government mandated things that are the government mandated things that help reduce emissions in internal combustion vehicles. And you're right, Noel, they do have platinum. They also have rhodium and palladium. You can get a lot of bang for your buck. If you're a thief, you can sell these for a couple of hundred per unit. And just recently, three members of the same family in California have pled guilty to a conspiracy for running a catalytic converter specific theft ring that shipped $600 million worth of these things.
Holy cow.
To Jersey.
Whoa. Of course it's going to Jersey.
Like, why?
It's like the airbag scam from The Sopranos. We talked about that too. Like, people like steal airbags and then they sell them to like scrap yards that sell undeployed airbags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And this, I'll be honest, I get these alerts whenever somebody officially gets charged with or convicted of conspiracy.
So is it, what is the alert? What is your Google alert? Like, what does it say?
It says conspiracy and then law enforcement, or court.
Got it.
So because usually, you know, when you do a Google alert, you can't just say conspiracy.
You'll of course.
Way, way too much stuff. A lot of hip hop, surprisingly. But let's go to a great article in the New York Times by Johnny Diaz. This was a national network of thieves, dealers, and what they're calling processors. So Tu Su Vang and then Andrew Vang and their mother, Monica Moa, were all from Sacramento, California. They're all part of this ring. They would transport stolen catalytic converters, and then they would get paid by wire. They all pled guilty, and unfortunately, one of them, the first one, Tao Su Vang, had also pled guilty to 39 different charges related to money laundering.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder how that all worked. I would love to see the like inner workings
What's
of that
the
conspiracy.
Grift? Like, you know, it seems like the elements and such in the catalytic converters are of such value that in and of itself would be the grift. I don't understand how the money laundering element.
The money laundering is explaining to the government how you generated the income. Okay. So like the Breaking Bad car wash kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, think about all the shipping you're doing, like from California to New Jersey, and catalytic converters, they're not huge, but they're also not tiny either.
But isn't the whole point of the money laundering grift that it's legal? Like running a catalytic converter theft ring is not exactly a good cover story.
Right, so you have to have the good cover story, which is the money laundering. By saying like, "Hey,
I think I'm confused. I'm sorry.
No worries."
So you get the bad money, the money that needs cleaning when you get money for the converters, right?
$50 per gram of those precious metals.
Then you've got a front business. I don't know. Do we know what their business was?
I think that was my question. I wasn't hearing what the front business was.
Oh, okay.
We don't have the details yet on their front business, but we do know that they had. They had a heck of one because they had to plead guilty to almost 40 different money laundering charges. So something like a car wash, something like the common ones would also be, dare I say it, casinos. But then laundromats don't make sense to me because they're all quarters.
It could be another auto business, honestly, which is probably very, likely. And they laundered $38 million on their own.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. How many catalytic converters are we talking that would yield $600 million?
They're not sure yet. We can go to some cocktail math, but maybe that's for a future episode. What we can say for sure is that last year alone, 1,600 catalytic converters were stolen in California. Whoa. So
these are the kingpins of this whole thing. I mean, it probably all traces back to them. I mean,
they're big fish.
Yeah.
They're big fish for sure. So just wanted to put that out there. Want to hear your stories about chop shops, folks, on either side of the law. You know what I mean? To the point that you're comfortable writing in. Legally speaking, also, don't steal cars.
And if you take a cat, don't some people like take a catalytic converter out on purpose because it makes their engines rev louder or something?
Yes.
Isn't that a thing?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's obviously an illegal mod, but it's something, and I despise those people with loud cars that go, like, oh, I hate that guy, whoever that is. But yeah.
And speaking of illegal, there's one more story I wanted to share before we move on to our second act. The Sinaloa cartel, you know them.
You're terrified of them.
You should be.
Probably.
You definitely don't want to rock the boat too much because they are functioning often as a quasi-governmental agency or quasi-governmental power, a state power now. And they are currently the top exporter of fentanyl to the United States. So let's go to the week. Just recently, this news dropped. This is an article by Peter Weber. And the cartel has banned the production and trafficking of fentanyl, according to some Wall Street Journal reporting. The cartel, after putting out this warning, they killed several suppliers who kept trying to sneak this over on the side.
Wow. And I think we've always questioned, like, it seems like bad business for fentanyl to be. I mean, maybe they're not necessarily lacing their street drugs with fentanyl. They're just exporting fentanyl pure in its pure form, right?
Yeah, they're yes. And fentanyl makes sense if you put ethics aside and you're in the drug game, because you get so much more bang for your buck. It's so much cheaper to produce. You don't have to participate with the Golden Triangle or other like sources of poppy. I would like to read the translation of one of their warnings that came out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So in English, this says, "Attention, due to the epidemic that plagues our country and our neighbors and the loyalty to our principles, we want to aid government efforts and CDS to eradicate the lethal drug known as fentanyl. Now it won't just be forbidden, as it has always been within our business, but now we will persecute and punish the people who make, sell, transport, or lace this drug."
Wow. So this does kind of speak to the question that we've always had. Like, how is it good business if you're killing your customers? You know, for certain types of street drugs that get laced with this that don't make sense, like cocaine or methamphetamine that aren't opioids, that don't have the same analogous effect that fentanyl would produce. It just happens to be a similarly white powder that you can lace something with. It always seemed to me, and I think to all of us, to be a very head-scratchy kind of choice. Like, why would you want repeat customers? You don't want to kill your customer upon their first purchase of your product. That just doesn't make sense. You want, at the very least, you want to get them hooked and maybe you kill them down the line from addiction and things that are associated with it, but a drop dead, they called it a hot shot back in the day.
Right.
Not good business. So this sort of speaks to they think that too.
It does, because it's what we have to say, the important point for the chain of command or timeline is that fentanyl often, it's put in there to adulterate or step on the product before it gets to like the street level dealers.
Right.
So they don't know necessarily, unless they're doing some, you know, quality assurance, which I imagine they do pretty frequently. Sure.
But I don't see the cartel's need to stop, or I can't imagine their desire to stop it. For me, it's more like maybe law enforcement is hip to stop fentanyl because it's getting so much news.
And they're coming at them so hard. They're like,
Yeah. So further down back to the Week article, that's what is happening. Reportedly, it's in response to law enforcement going harder on the paint or harder in the paint because of these fentanyl overdose deaths that have risen so sharply in the U.S., cartel operatives, like the mid-managers, because they're big enough to have that sort of Dilbert setup, except with a lot of torture and death. The mid-level managers are talking to the Wall Street Journal, Western media, Mexican media, and one described how he is destroying the 25 fentanyl labs that he was in charge of. Because a lot of these guys, especially in mid-level and below, think of them more like independent contractors. They have a little bit of autonomy. You have to give us this money.
So like Chicken Man?
But isn't it funny, though, how even that threatening thing you just read reads like a press release from a pharmaceutical company?
Yeah.
We care so much about our customers and the epidemic that this drug has caused. It's always been banned, but now we're mega banning it. It's like they're looking out for optics. It's strange.
We'll get you that prescription cocaine if you need it, but this fentanyl, sorry guys, we're taking it off.
It's not lost. I think it's not lost on anybody how the irony of reading these official statements. That translation I read you guys is from banners that have been hung up at multiple drug spots.
Wow. That's how you do a proper press release.
Yeah, they're handwritten. They look pretty serious. But also the irony here is that of all people, the cartel is talking about our principles.
That's
our values. Yeah. Like, hey guys.
We're a family organization.
It's like,
you know?
It's like
they are actually.
Well, I know they are, but it's like, come on. This is a joke.
Because this is specifically El Chapo's sons, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is like all those mob films. Oh, yeah, they're called Chapitos, but it's like all those mob films where you see some of the older school Italian mafiosos.
Drugs are a dirty business.
Yeah, saying that drugs are a dirty business. We just stay with gambling, right? Or, you know, don't touch the opium or the cocaine. And it always represents a paradigm shift or a sea change.
That's why Don Corleone got popped, because he wouldn't play ball with, you know, with whomever it was, the other families that were aligning to you know, do drugs. And Don Corleone was like, nah, I don't believe in that. I think it's going to ultimately destroy us if we get into this business.
Yeah. Well, so what of the other cartels that are like, hey, fentanyl's cool with us?
Well, then that's just going to be another doctrinal difference, you know, and they're going to beef over it. That's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, a lot of fentanyl also is produced in China. Right. And the U.S. has unsuccessfully attempted to get the PRC to crack down on this. Results aren't in yet. And also, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what about law enforcement? What about the DEA, the FBI, or, you know, the CIA still in the game? Right. you didn't hear it here first. What did they do? Did they go there and they say, because they're focusing hard on stopping fentanyl, did they sit down with their contacts, which they definitely do have, and say, like, hey, guys, I've been to college. You know, who doesn't love a little cocaine? But this fentanyl is getting out of hand. Did they talk to them like cool dad style? Like, hey, champ.
Yeah, it's seriously. Okay if you drink at our house, you know?
Yeah. It's a safe space. I do wonder if there was something like that, some kind of serious pressure, political pressure.
Yes.
Where, because you know that there are connections there. We talked not long ago about the cartel connections to the upper level military in Mexico. So, mm-hmm. you know, somebody did exactly that, Ben.
Someone came down and did the cool dad.
Yeah. And they're like, look, heroin is just less harmful. So keep doing that. We'll ease up on monitoring some of that for you as long as you can promise, you know, commit. Getting rid of the fentanyl.
Law enforcement is less likely to talk in euphemistic language than intelligence agencies, but I could totally see something where they say, guys, look, at the end of the day, it's all about harm reduction. You know, I think it will reduce harm to your consumers if we have less fentanyl. And it will certainly reduce harm to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
And they're like, all right, well, great meeting. I gotta go, you know, back over the border.
Whatever. Yeah.
No, they meet within the U.S., I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But, and they're also like, oh, but do you remember who we are? Law enforcement agency, whoever you are?
Anyway, that's a wild meeting at the Bittigans, right, over in Phoenix. and the last thing before we move on, this is something I think should be an episode in the future. How does, back to the idea of cleaning the money, like the catalytic converters, how do you clean this money derived from the massive drug trade? It's a crime ring based in China that's also used by Hezbollah. That's the story. There are a lot of tether coins, they're called, like another Bitcoin. So just a teaser for a future episode on another evening. For now, don't do drugs. Try your best not to steal cars. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
And we've returned with another piece of strange news. Sasquatch, Bigfoot, Skunk Ape,
the Abominable Snowman,
the Yeti, back in the news, y'all. It's back in the news. What was that amazing photo, the most famous one from 1967? It's got a name.
Is it the one where he's walking?
Yeah, he's walking in a stride, see it in bumper stickers, you see it in fridge magnets. Well, we have another sighting that looks remarkably similar to that one, but we also have a video now. And much like the recent Nessie convention, I guess, that descended on Loch Ness to sort of reinvigorate interest in some of these cryptids that have maybe fallen out of the public consciousness a little bit, largely because they've been debunked like multiple times over. This seems to have the potential to, you know, also reinvigorate interest in Yeti hunting or Bigfoot hunting. We all had a lovely time going to a Sasquatch Museum in Blue Ridge, Georgia. I believe it's called, was it Operation Bigfoot?
Expedition Bigfoot. Elijah,
if you're ever around this neck of the woods here in Georgia and you go up into the Blue Ridge Mountains area on your way, there's this really cool museum that is much like, you know, the kinds of things you might see at Epcot Center in Disney. This guy, what was his name?
David Becerra.
Yeah, very, very influenced by Disney Imagineering. And so there's a lot of these little exhibits. This guy is an active Bigfoot enthusiast. He has like vehicles on display with like radar dishes or whatever, whispered dishes that you use to kind of like amplify sound. And he's got them all built onto these little bespoke golf carts. This is the kind of guy that I think would take great interest into this story. So this one, though, we always, you know, talked about Bigfoot as being a bit of a regional phenomenon, like a lot of times in the Pacific Northwest, a couple of other locations. I don't know that I've ever heard of one being seen in Colorado. Have y'all?
It would make sense potentially because there's enough rural area and wilderness.
Yes, that's sort of the key, right? With most cryptids, it's like, where can they thrive where there aren't eyes on them all the time?
The Bigfoot in Bushwick? You know what I mean?
Exactly. He's hanging out at a dive bar DJing probably, you know?
Guys, we should low-key make that, whatever that is, like
Bushwick Bigfoot?
Yeah, the
Bigfoot of Bushwick.
Bigfoot of Bushwick. Yeah. That should be like a children's book.
That might be a guy.
He's very much could be. But so a guy named Stetson Parker, which is a great name, Stetson, presumably named after the hat, maybe not, and his wife Shannon took a little pleasure tour, I suppose, on a vintage railroad in Colorado called the Durango and Silverton Narrow Gauge Railroad that, quote, provides historic and entertaining rides. This story comes from the New York Times in an article by Claire Moses. And the Parkers got a little more than they bargained for with the price of admission for that little tour. They cited a Bigfoot. The Bigfoot? I mean, again, we don't know. Are there many of them? Is there just the one? Seems like there would have to be many. And there's footage of this. You can see it online. It's been shared all across social media, and it's a, you know, a shot out the window. And if you've ever been on a train trip, you know, in the maybe in out west or in parts of the country that are a little more rural, lots of really awesome wide vistas. You can get really cool shots just from the train window using your phone that look like cinematic because of how huge the horizon is and the, you know, this the kind of scale of the shot. And in this, you see some brush, some kind of scrubby brush land. And then if you look in, kind of zoom in with your eyeballs, you see this Bigfoot-type cat or bear or ape just swinging his arms along in a very similar pose, a very similar posture and gait to that that 1960s footage that we talked about. The arms out, swinging like a Polaroid picture. That's not a thing, but you can picture it, y'all.
Yeah, but he at the very beginning of the footage I just watched, he does like a quick footed like kind of thing to get over a couple of rocks.
He's a spry little fella.
But then immediately squats down and almost camouflages
It ends with the squat, and he does then, or they do whatever, this creature then becomes quite camouflaged. It's really, really fascinating. I mean, honestly, when I first looked at it, I was like, this is a deep fake that's using the same type of footage that we've seen before because the posture is so similar. The, I guess, proximity, or rather the scale of the arms, the length of the arms in relation to the rest of the body, very, very similar. The way the hair kind of drapes, you know, almost like a Wookiee type figure, you know.
It's also a very, very short clip.
It's a very short clip, but all these types of clips tend to be.
It's at least super clear, right?
It is.
It's in focus.
That's why I immediately my mind. I mean, again, we've been tainted by all this AI stuff where now we just really can't trust footage, and it would be super easy to fake a video like this, especially when the whole intent is for it to be kind of, well, like to your point, Matt, it's not low res exactly, but it is a large scale vista with a very small thing that's sort of the feature of it. And I could just, my mind immediately was like, that looks like fake Tom Cruise, you know, on a late night show or something, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about the captive audience that you have when it's a bunch of human beings on a train with devices that can probably record video.
That's right.
I mean, if you wanted to look like Bigfoot to a lot of people at one time.
Yeah.
This is a great place to do it.
To what end? And then also, how come there haven't been more sightings?
To what end? I mean, just like yucks, I would argue, just for funsies.
We got on TMZ, man.
They did get on TMZ, and it has led to the headline, the TMZ headline, Cops Urge Scientists, Bigfoot Sighting, Scientists Should Be on the Case, Not Cops, So Say Cops, which is a very TMZ headline. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are some folks associated with the National Forests there in Colorado. The TMZ article references an undersheriff, like in the Colorado area, that is saying this, the idea that scientists should be looking into this, not cops. But I couldn't find much else about that. It wasn't mentioned in the New York Times article. So definitely worth a little bit of a deeper dive. But one thing that came up, do you guys know what a ghillie suit is?
Yes. Yeah, it's used to disguise people for infiltration or for sniping.
You know, I think the first time I saw it was probably in like one of those Navy SEALs kind of like commercials where it's like really, you know, what's it like, one of the video games? What are those games called?
Call of Duty?
Call of Duty-esque, you know, where it's like, you want to do this, kids, you know, you want to join this elite force because you're used to seeing this type of footage in these games, and you'll see people like emerging from swamps or whatever wearing these kind of suits, and they look like kind of Wookiee suits, but they're a little more like Spanish moss or certain types of foliage. I guess there would be different ones for different parts, you know, that of the world or of the environment.
They're also pretty heavy though. Have you ever?
No.
Oh, dude, somebody I know up where I live now is a retired Marine sniper trainer.
Oh yeah.
And he's told me stories about spending days at a time in one of those suits you're talking about that are really heavy, right? And uncomfortable and literally not moving for days inside one of those things so that anyone with a camera or observing is not going to notice you whatsoever.
And don't get them wet.
Oh,
because that just makes it heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear they're very hot. Uncle Sam is not like, let's make sure this is breathable fabric.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's not what it's about.
But to that point, yeah, it makes sense to your point, Noel, that it would be a ghillie suit would be one of the first immediate explanations. But with the footage, we just don't have enough information.
Well, but it doesn't move like a ghillie suit.
It doesn't.
It moves like a costume to me, yeah, at least to my eyes.
It does, the way it hangs and the way, but the arms are really long, mm-hmm. you know, and there is, it does have the appearance of a skeleton, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
of something like behind all of that fur. And Mr. Stetson Parker was asked about this ghillie suit theory, and he, you know, clapped back, why would someone be wearing a ghillie suit during the middle of elk hunting season? You know, it's a surefire way for anyone to get shot.
Oh,
you know, and
that's terrifying. That's if it is a hoax, somebody was out there during hunting season.
And it does. I mean, honestly, the way this thing is moving, it's moving so much like the classic Bigfoot stuff that we've seen,
yeah,
that it, unless that's just the way these guys move and it's definitely real, it is somebody looking to get a viral video.
Yeah.
But think about how many times they would have had to do it in order for someone to catch it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Like, you'd have to predict the train schedule,
that's right.
and stuff, which isn't impossible by any
no,
means.
No, but I would argue that if, you know, if this was the one that popped, they've probably done it multiple times.
Quite possibly, yeah. Unless it's just, unless it's just some dude wandering, because it's far enough away that it doesn't necessarily, like when you look at this, you don't immediately think this is larger than a human being normally is, right? So we'd need, you know, to paraphrase Reddit, we'd need a banana for scale. We need like someone who's a confirmed human being.
Yes.
Repeating the same motions.
That's right.
To see how high the shrubs are.
Let's do it.
And to answer my own question, the 1967 footage, which mm-hmm. we've seen screenshotted as a still, maybe even more than we've seen the footage, was called the Patterson-Gimlin film, which showed, again, the same gait, the arms, you know, to the point where that's such a classic piece of cryptid ephemera that this, whatever, if this is a hoax, unless, again, this is just how these things move and this is definitely real, someone was mimicking this, you know, because the arms are swinging in the exact same pattern. And I did not realize this, but in 2014, Oxford University researchers investigated 30 hair samples, you know, that were purportedly belonging to mm-hmm. these types of cryptids, and they matched every single one of them to other animals.
Yeah,
I think we've probably mentioned
that. The FBI did that too. Right, something similar a few decades earlier.
I think that must be right, but I'm only seeing the thing about the Oxford study.
Yeah.
But this New York Times article also quotes a guy named Ryan Willis, who's 23 and founded the Trent University Sasquatch Society, which hosts Sasquatch University, which is a reality show on the Wild Network that discusses Bigfoot sightings specifically in Ontario. And I do now remember from Bakara's place that Canada is another, you know, prime example of like, you know, a great location for Sasquatch
sure.
sightings. And there certainly yeah. have been plenty because, I mean, after all, Pacific Northwest, it's practically Canada, you know.
Deciduous forest, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of tree cover. And this, I think, Matt, you may be onto something. I think maybe this is a field trip for us. We can see, we need one guy on the train.
Yes.
We need another person. I like, okay.
Can I be the Bigfoot?
How is this not?
You got the best stretch for
yes.
that.
Yeah. What if it's a hobo who is going to hop the rails and is waiting for Amtrak to pass by, but because they're going at speed. And I don't think there's not a safe way to hop on a train.
Oh,
at
no,
speed
not,
like
not
that.
At these types of stretches. Like
no.
there's no access. It is moving very fast.
Do you think, okay, what if it's a guy, just like a regular dude out there and squatted because they didn't want to be seen or squatted because they had to poop or whatever. What if they don't know that they have gone viral and have become, you know, the subject of a New York Times article? Or what if they do know? How come no one ever comes forward immediately and is like, no, it's me, Scummy Pete. I'm just riding the rails with a bindle and...
Hobo Johnson.
Yeah, hey, my guy. Yeah. Yeah, you got me. I was out there.
Speaking of poop, though, Ryan Willis, who I mentioned, the Sasquatch University guy, is quoted in this New York Times article talking about how, you know, people send him footage all the time, different hair samples. And then he's quoted in saying, but nobody has sent us Bigfoot poop right in the mail or anything.
That's one of our that was one of our first questions in Cryptid episodes, too, because anything that is closely related to a primate, especially one of the great apes like humans or gorillas, they're going to exhibit predictable nesting behaviors. Chimpanzees also are cleaner than humans when it comes to pooping. Yeah. So maybe Bigfoot is just more hygienic than the rest of the primates.
I mean, he's definitely got a luxurious mane. No question about that. He's probably using that horse shampoo.
Yeah.
You know, mane and tail.
And if he's got some specific wilderness and recon training, then he almost certainly buries his poop.
Yeah, because nobody, you know, you don't want to give away your position.
right. Or at least have a decent latrine. So we are going to become cryptid poop hunters. Is that the takeaway?
Why not?
You know, at this point,
what else is there? Well, I think we've gotten to the root of this one. Will be interesting to see if anything else comes of this. But hey, it was enough for the old New York Times to write about it. So it's a very interesting clip. Let us know what you think. Look it up. It's out there. We're going to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back to you with one more piece of strange news.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
And we've returned. Guys, my obsession with water and water-related things continues. I apologize to you and to everyone listening. I cannot get away from water for one reason or another.
Aren't most people obsessed with water?
Well, we're made of like 90% of it or something along those lines.
Yeah, 70.
I talked to my therapist this morning, and he thinks it's a problem. So it's okay. It's okay.
You worried about those precious bodily fluids, like the guy that goes crazy in Dr. Strangelove?
That's exactly what's going on this brain.
We'll keep an eye on you, Matt.
Well, I think, but just to be fair then, if you feel obsessed, then I'm right there with you, man, because it's one of the few requirements that no one can buy their way out of yet.
Yeah. Oh God. So you remember this other thing? Per and polyfluoral alkyl substances.
Boy, do I.
PFAS. You guys remember these forever chemicals?
PFAS. Of course.
Yeah. I feel like we talk about them at least once a month here on Stuff I Don't Want You to Know.
The frying pan stuff, right?
Yes, exact. Frying pan stuff, but also 8,999 other chemicals besides Teflon.
When you get a paper cup that doesn't instantly get soaked, the little barrier there is has PFAS, definitely some microplastics.
Anything that a bead of water just like rolls right off.
Yes.
Probably
a lot of it.
Bad news.
The lining inside every Coca-Cola can you've ever consumed.
I'm not going to think about it. also, the lining of popcorn bags.
Yeah. Oh, it's in everything. Well, guys, the reason why those are scary, and we've talked about it on this show, listen to several full episodes we've made on the subject.
Active conspiracies as well. Not theories. Yeah.
Real conspiracies where human beings now understand the science behind why these carbon chains are so dangerous for humans, because they don't break down when they get into your system, and they have a tendency to embed themselves within your system as they, you know, move around in your bloodstream. Or just go through your bowels or wherever they happen to find themselves as you consume more and more every day. Every human being does this on the planet because they're in every source of water on the planet.
And if you're carrying a child, they're going to be in your kid too. So this is real cradle to the grave stuff. And it turns out that PFAS may get you to your grave a little earlier.
Probably. It's probably not going to have any effect on you immediately, right? Generally, they don't. It's a long game with these guys, as you said, cradle to the grave kind of thing. It's a huge problem. There are a lot of ways to clean up pollution that humanity has, you know, found our way into, right? Ways to clean up things like oil spills. What's some other horrible pollution? Chemicals that get released when a train derails that aren't PFAS.
Shout out East Palestine and the countless other, or the hundreds of other train accidents. Nuclear waste.
There are ways that you can collect those substances pretty effectively and isolate them, let's say in a, you know, 10 to 20 foot concrete cube of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
With PFAS, there hasn't really been, at least within the up until a couple of years ago, a reliable way to destroy the chemicals once they contaminate something, like especially a body of water.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's changing.
Oh, this is a positive story.
Yes. This is a positive story.
We led with such doom and gloom.
We wanted to end on something positive, right?
Well, the point is, it is doom and gloom, but there's a glimmer of hope just over the horizon.
Silver
here.
Lining.
Like there's the end of line. True Detective Season 1, spoilers.
Yeah. Is that when you get to see the universe open up above their heads?
Yeah, like, and you hug it out with your bestie.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, after the hospital visit. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Oh, True Detective Season 1.
New season coming.
Yeah?
Jodie Foster. Yeah. It's called Night Country.
What?
Looks cool. Apparently, it's actually got ties back to the first one, at least in the trailer. It has the same spiral guys. Oh, that are,
it's also in Alaska, so I hope they tie back to the mythos.
Oh, man. We just learned that there's a Fallout TV show coming?
Well, that was only a matter of time. I mean, it's good material. Yeah.
Guys, more good TV. Mm-hmm. Yay!
Hey, well, and the writer strike sort of dealt with.
Yeah, let's just temper our expectations, because you know that that's not about the video game, right?
Oh, is it not?
No, it's about Fallout Boy.
Oh, even better.
Stop it, Ben.
God, they were so good at the music festival.
They were pretty good.
Okay, so the hope in the future here on the horizon is a startup company from Tacoma, Washington, called Aguaga.
Say that again?
Aguaga. That's how I would say it.
Okay,
in every
now
board
say it
meeting.
Like you're Irish.
I don't think it's possible.
Oh, no, wait. Do it like Harry Carey.
Aguaga.
There we go.
That's good.
Aguaga has landed $4.7 million in contract.
Yeah.
No, but this company.
I might say it more Aquaga.
Aquaga?
It's a Q. It's definitely a Q.
Oh, yeah. I see. You know what? Because I've got the little red line under it in my notes, it's reading as a G instead of a Q.
I want to say, I'll do
it.
It
be a
like,
soft Q.
Yeah. I'll do it. I want to do it more like a loud, like an accusation, you know, like, and like, Aguaga!
Okay.
Attica!
So it makes a lot more sense that it's Aquaga. Aquaga.
Yeah.
Okay. Aquaga. That's the company. They have developed machines or a system that fits inside basically a one of these containers, like a shipping container.
Yeah.
And so you would ship this device wherever there's a contaminated source of water. You run the contaminated water through their system, which subjects the water itself to tremendous pressure and heat. which is apparently enough to actually break down those crazy strong carbon chains, which again, up until this point has been almost impossible to actually do, like to break these things. And they can set up shop and just process water and let it flow through it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys, to me, it's amazing that it's even possible.
Sure.
Because like with oil, let's say you're cleaning up an oil spill or something, right?
Yeah.
Often, at least what we've seen in, gosh, the Deepwater Horizon situation and a couple others, mm-hmm. there are attempts to like soak that stuff up and then either A, send it to the bottom of the ocean
or
so
space.
Nobody can see it, or gather it up and try and either reuse it or store it somewhere safely.
Or put it in a developing nation.
That is very true.
Like how the U.S. will sometimes sell decommissioned craft for like a dollar because and send it to ship breakers because yeah. it's so much more expensive to properly break it down.
Dude, well, yes.
Sorry, we're being positive.
But in this case, they are actually breaking down the chemicals
yes.
rather than having to store it safely somewhere the
Amazing.
Way you'd have to do with radioactive materials, right?
With a really high rate of success, too, right?
Yeah, crazy high rate of success.
About as high as you can get.
Well, at least, here's the thing. It's a startup company, right? So we have to remain a little bit skeptical because they are attempting to promote, to get more funding, to get more contracts. You know, they want me and you and everybody else to think everything is great at a 99% destruction rate of PFAS, right?
Sure.
Maybe it's a little off that mark, but even if they're close to that, for me, it's a positive thing. Let me give you a little bit of this reporting out of GeekWire where I'm learning some of this stuff. It's titled, Forever Chemicals Are Eternal No More Thanks to a Pollution-Destroying Device from Tacoma Startup. Again, already, just with that headline, it almost sounds like there's a press release involved somewhere in here,
mm-hmm.
right? Just yeah. because it's like, yeah. hey, it's this Tacoma Startup. At least they didn't name the company right in the title. That gives me a little hope that it's not just that.
There are some agencies involved, some government agencies involved in their like sort of test, right?
Oh, yeah. The EPA, they won basically grants from the EPA through showing off their technology and saying, mm-hmm. hey, they're testing it. This is how it works. They were able to show that it was functional and they got money from the government. I'll tell you this from that article. They've landed $4.7 million in contracts, awards, and demonstration projects that include partnerships with 7 federal government agencies. So that's, again, that's pretty good sounding to me. They launched in 2019,
mm-hmm.
and they won a contest, an EPA contest in 2020. And then they just built their, like basically in 2021, they built their first prototype, and they've been testing it ever since.
Right, yeah.
And let me just tell you the process here. According to the article, their weapon of PFAS destruction annihilates the pollutants in a device that can reach high pressure and temperature hitting 570 degrees Fahrenheit. And then to that, they add lye, which is a substance we've talked about many a time. It's in soaps, and it creates a caustic environment for these carbon chains, which then further breaks down these things. It says the conditions dismantle the PFAS, breaking off the compound at its head
mm-hmm.
and chopping up its spine of carbon molecules.
How'd they figure that out?
I don't know. That and finally, lopping off the fluoride, because remember, these are per and polyfluoral alkyl substances, so there's a fluoride involved in the chain,
right.
and it lops off that fluoride molecule that goes along the backbone of the entire chain, which is what keeps it stable. So like, I don't really have much else to say on this, guys, besides this is super cool to me, and I hope there's more companies out there. And it sounds like there are a bunch of startups attempting to do this.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of money going in from research institutes, that a lot of which operate out of places like Georgia Tech here in Atlanta.
Amazing.
A lot of postdoc work, a lot of private equity funds pouring money in. And Matt, I don't know if we got to it, but I got to give a shout out to the etymology of aquaga.
Oh yeah, tell me. I don't know it.
It's named after an extinct animal.
A zebra type.
A relative, yeah, of the zebra. So they call themselves, the zebra's aquaga, a single quaga.
Oh.
And then no pun left behind, hashtag no pun left behind, aquaga, because it sounds really awkward, But now when you hear why they named it that, it makes sense.
Well, they also categorize themselves as a zebra company instead of a unicorn company.
Right.
Apparently, unicorn company is a term like in VC type stuff for like a company that's driven entirely by competition. But they say we're more of a zebra company. We want to cooperate, you know, with other organizations to help get rid of these PFAS. And another interesting partnership is the Federal Aviation Administration, as well as the Alaska Department of Transportation, and also the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, who I believe all three have contributed something, at least to the $2.5 million demonstration project that they did, that, again, was, I believe, quite successful.
Man,
seems pretty positive.
Opposite of killer, right? Hopefully.
Well, they're killing the bad stuff.
Hopefully.
And it's going to take more and more companies like this, more and more private-public collaborations. I know it's easy for us to become cynical when you think about, you know, one of the first answers, at least in the West, is how do we monetize this, right? Mm. And hopefully, as humanity has already arrived at an ecological tipping point, hopefully people can start redefining profit as something beyond simply financial terms.
Yeah. Benefit to humanity overall would be a great metric.
Mm-hmm.
How do you measure that, though?
Let us know. We would love to hear the answers. If you have the solution to this, if you have participated in a chop shop, if you are the guy that those folks think was Bigfoot, or if you are Bigfoot, you know,
or
whatever.
Or if you've seen something along those lines, let us know. You can reach us on all the social media outlets of note. We are Conspiracy Stuff Show on X, FKA, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey, we have a phone number. You can call us. We are 1-833- STDWYTK. Oh, it feels good to do that together. That's our number. When you call in, give yourself a cool nickname, not your government name, and let us know if we can use that name and your message on one of our listener mail episodes. If you've got more to say than can fit in 3 minutes, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the people who read every email we get. conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.